On the telephone with us this morning, we have a special guest for you. It's from TheHoosier.com, the beat writer for Indiana basketball and football, amongst other things, is our good friend Stu Jackson. Stu, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, Mike. I'm doing excellent. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for making some time for us this morning. We know you have a very, very – well, you're always busy. You're like the rest of the gang that runs around with IU Media. We know that there's plenty of stuff going on. We know, obviously, the spring football game is right around the corner. But yesterday, Juwan Morgan decides that he's going to throw his name in the NBA draft. Did that come as a surprise to everybody around the program?
I wouldn't say so, just because, I mean, with the new rules, now, well, not exactly new, I'd say. I guess it's been in place for a little over a year, but, you know, with these rules, it, you know, allows kids to, you know, get feedback from key NBA decision makers and evaluators and whatnot, you know, without, and return to school so long as they don't hire an agent. And so I think, you know, with Juwan doing that, you know, declaring but not signing an agent or with an agent, I think that puts him in the best situation possible where, again, he can go through that process, figure out what he needs to do to improve his game and you know, his NBA outlook, so to speak, and, you know, put himself in a good position to perhaps have a good senior year, depending on what he decides to do.
Now, Robert Johnson did this last year, right? Robert Johnson went through the same process. He came back to school, so there is multiple ways to do it, whereas perhaps James Blackman and Thomas Bryant did.
Yeah, and I think with, I want to say with James, too, I mean, there's a certain number of times that, you know, you can go through the pre-draft process before when you finally put your name, and it has to be kind of, you know, okay, you're in, and you know, there's no turning back now, but... yeah, this was a situation where I know when James and Thomas declared last year, they initially didn't did not hire agents, and then but OG Anunoby, of course, did, because he had a pretty good idea of where he was going to be headed in the draft later that summer. So yeah, similar situation to of course Rob Johnson as well, with those three did, and I'm sure it will benefit Juwan greatly.
Now, the surprise wasn't he was going to test the waters. Was there any surprise on the timing of this? Is there ever a good time to announce this, bad time to announce it? Is there a drop-dead date that you had to announce by a certain time? Tell me how that process worked, if there was one.
Yeah, so the way it works is, at least for this year, the deadline was April 22nd to, you know, put your name in the draft. And you know, even if you weren't going to sign with an agent, you know, for, you know, prospective NBA players, you know, coming out of college. And so, you know, at least to declare and, you know, preserve your eligibility and things like that. And then, you know, the next step for Juwan would be, he'll have until, you know, May 30th, which would be 10 days after the NBA draft combine. That's standard every year, to figure out, you know, if he wants to withdraw his name from consideration for the draft this summer and return to school, or if he wants to keep his name in. So April 22nd was the kind of the first date to keep an eye on, and May 30th is going to be the next one here.
Now, the other part about the NBA combine part that you mentioned, that's before that, that's not for everybody. That is an invitation only. Would that be a key or something to keep an eye on to see if this process might get a little deeper than we think?
Well, one thing, you know, with Yogi Ferrell, when he was going through this process, you know, after he left IU, you know, he didn't get an invite to the NBA draft combine. Part of that was because, you know, he'd been at IU for 4 years, and, you know, scouts had been able to see him plenty of times. So, you know, I don't think, you know, a performance at the combine would have made a huge difference. But he also had, you know, private workouts with some teams, like the Phoenix Suns, for example. And so, you know, if Juwan doesn't get an invite to the NBA draft combine, it's not the end of the world. When I spoke to an ESPN NBA analyst at the Big Ten tournament back in March, he said that, you know, Juwan was a guy who, you know, could, if he does decide to, you know, go through the pre-draft process, would be somebody who gets, you know, who could get quite a few of those workouts. So, again, if Juwan does, you know, if Juwan doesn't get into the NBA draft combine, I'm sure there would be plenty of teams who are interested in working him out and then seeing what he can provide.
All right, so May 30th is the drop dead. He has to pull his name out if he's coming back to school or he can stay in the draft. There is no no other gray area there, right? That is just the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, and it's essentially a month, you know, 4 or 5 weeks after, you know, the deadline for putting your name in to begin with. So you would think that that would be enough time for guys in, you know, Juwan's situation or in the case of Robert, James, and Thomas last year, you know, to kind of get an educated, make an educated decision, figure out, you know, where things stand and if, you know, if it's a decision that makes the most sense for them. So, yeah, May 30th is when, you know, his mind's got to be made up and he's got to decide, is this something I want to pursue or do I need to go back to school and get better and try to make the most of my senior year?
Stu Jackson from TheHoosier.com is our guest this morning. He is on the beat for Indiana basketball, football, besides doing a million other things.
So we're linked up with the Rivals and Yahoo Sports Network.
Gotcha. I know there's been some changing of the guard and some buying and selling going on there, so I wanted to make sure we got you covered.
Oh, yeah, all good.
We don't want to get into the Romeo Langford discussion. We know that's a drop-dead date of an announcement coming up at the end of the month. We'll talk about that down the road because without an announcement, there's not an announcement. But you guys live in the crystal ball world. So briefly, what is your say, just to give some fans some insight here on a Friday morning?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, so he's going to be, you know, like you mentioned, decisions coming at the end of the month. It's April 30th at 7 p.m. at New Albany High School, and it's going to be open to the public, and which I think is kind of an interesting decision, at least just from my perspective. You know, I mean, you're located in an area that's got, you know, I would say a strong contingent of both Indiana and Louisville fans, especially with how close New Albany is to Louisville, especially. But you know, I just feel like, you know, it's you know, when Jared Jeffries was announcing, I mean, we had, one of our readers said that, you know, they were there and, you know, he'd asked somebody, you know, would you really let him, when he was covering, said, would you really let him, you know, use his gym to, you know, if he was picking a school other than IU? And he kind of, like, you know, shrugged his shoulders and said, well, I don't know. So, you know, I kind of find that interesting, whether that, you know, is a, yeah, some sort of sign that he's tipping his hand toward IU. I don't know, but you know, I just kind of find that an interesting decision, I guess, to as far as the setup for announcing his future college choice.
Well, again, the last thing we want to do is, and you know this from being in your business, the last second you assume anything, it doesn't always work that way, but hopefully those are some good signs pointing in that direction. Stu Jackson from The Hoosier joins us this morning, but we're really here to talk about football. This basketball stuff just pops up because Indiana basketball is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365. We know that. But football, spring practice, all the practices are done. The final one will be the spring game tomorrow. Noon today, IU Game Management will announce the details for tomorrow's scrimmage, the Cream and Crimson scrimmage. What that means is we have some weather issues potentially on the board. So they're going to let us know at noon how this is all going to be handled. The players, they just want to scrimmage. They want to get out there and have some fun. Two squads, Cream and Crimson, after 13 practices. Indiana football's had news this week. There's a brand new quarterback that's heading here, but he won't be here until summertime. We'll talk about Brandon Dawkins coming up. But, Stu, what do we look for tomorrow as the Cream and Crimson square off? The big draft has happened. What are we looking for? Position battles. Obviously, the quarterback position is always a huge talking point. Tell me what you've noticed through spring practice.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that's really impressed the coaches is with Michael Penix, who we had as a four-star prospect coming out of high school, and he was also an early enrollee. Coaches are just really impressed with how quickly he's picked things up. They also really like his arm strength. Peyton Ramsey, he's still showing that same accuracy and poise and toughness that, you know, everybody saw when he, you know, when he played in nine games last year and started in four of those. So, you know, I guess also just getting a look at Nick Tronti as well. You know, I'm kind of curious to see, you know, what he brings to that position as well, because he spent time on the scout team last year. And so
he's kind of been the forgotten man in all of this, hasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he was Mr. Football in the state of Florida, which, you know, that's obviously, you know, in a talent rich state as that, it's obviously challenging to win that caliber of an award. So he's got to be doing something right, you know, I would think, to have been in contention for that during his preps career. But yeah, so I'm really interested to see, you know, what he looks like, you know, as well as, you know, what Michael Penix can do in a as close to a game-like situation as Indiana can create with a scrimmage.
Now, we know the running back situation has been thin. It was thin throughout last season as we saw injuries knock guys out throughout the year. Mike Majette missed time. Morgan Ellison missed time. Cole Guest missed time. We've seen some development in the running back stable. How much of that in spring ball can really translate into training camp come August?
Yeah, I think, you know, Morgan Ellison, he was drawing a lot of praise from the coaches last spring. They just liked his toughness and, you know, just running with his pad level, all that stuff. And sure enough, heading into the fall, he, you know, put himself in a good position to, you know, get a good amount of carries each game. Of course, Mike Majette came in as the number one guy and then, you know, kind of lost the starting job due to injury. But, you know, Ellison, I think the example of Morgan Ellison kind of shows that, you know, guys who, you know, impress in the spring, you know, usually tend to have a pretty good fall camp too. And if not right away, maybe down the road, will find themselves with a pretty important role here come this fall.
And the other important part of the offensive side of the ball is obviously the offensive line. Every good football team and really good football team has to have a strong offensive line. The Hoosiers have added a couple pieces in the offseason, but they didn't lose anybody in the offseason. This is about as veteran and solid as a group, in, at least in the numbers situation, that they've had in a few years.
Yeah, you can't underestimate the amount of experience that you know, Indiana has on the offensive line, returning everybody from a year ago, and of course adding a guy like Nick Linder, who played at the University of Miami in Florida. You know, he's not going to be in action, obviously, because he's dealing with an injury of his own, but he'll be back in time for fall camp, of course. But yeah, you know, the Big Ten, it just seems like year after year, it's a league that, you know, you have to win at the line of scrimmage in order to be successful. You see that with, you know, Ohio State's, you know, defensive line, meaning their offensive line, as well as other schools, obviously. But, you know, that will be, I think, an invaluable piece for Indiana's offense come this fall, no matter who ends up, you know, being behind center, taking those snaps at quarterback especially.
And we talk about offensive pieces being important. The defensive side of the football, Tom Allen loves linebackers. He lost two really, really good linebackers in Chris Covington and Tigre Scales to graduation, who have been some of the guys trying to fill those shoes, and they're big shoes to fill.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike McGinnis and Raekwon Jones are two guys that have really stood out to me. McGinnis was a JUCO, former JUCO transfer, and Jones has kind of, you know, worked his way up to get in this position and really taken on a leadership role. So those are two guys that I think have really, you know, stood out among the rest. Of course, you know, there's Thomas Allen, the son of the head coach, who's also done, you know, a great job as well this spring. It's a young group, kind of a somewhat inexperienced group, considering, you know, most of the experience has been on special teams or just a handful of games. But I think they're eager to, you know, really prove themselves here heading into fall camp and just the season as well.
In the defensive backfield last year, Rashad Fant, fifth-year senior, who has been on watch list after watch list, breaking up passes, interceptions. He graduates. Who steps into that shutdown corner role, or has that not been determined yet?
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, up in the air. I think, you know, it's safe to say that Sean Riggins will probably be starting at one of those corner spots. That's just, you know, from my perspective, given that he's, you know, how involved he's been since he stepped on campus as a freshman. You know, Raheem Lane and Andre Brown really, you know, battling for that other spot, I think. And, you know, if, you know, whichever one of those guys Indiana decides to go with, I don't think he could go wrong with either. I think those guys will probably be in the strongest contention, I would say, to start alongside Riggins. But, again, it's Coach Shelby likes to say he preaches open competition all the time, so we'll probably have a better idea here come August.
And speaking of competition, how many were there, besides Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback, were there any other early enrollees or kids that got here a little bit before they should be? Any of those guys making a difference, too, or is that we're really waiting for the rest of the freshman class to get here in August?
Yeah, I would say we're kind of just waiting for that rest, the rest of that freshman class to arrive. Jacoby Hewitt's the guy who, you know, he's a receiver coming out of Tennessee who, you know, has done some nice things this spring. Ronnie Walker, running back, his head coach, when I talked to him before, said he reminded me a little bit of IU's current running backs coach, Mike Hart, when Coach Hart was playing in Michigan. So those are two guys, you know, at least on the offensive side of the ball that, you know, I think have also impressed. But, again, there are other guys, you know, that will be coming along here in the summer that, you know, I'm looking forward to getting a chance to see here in fall camp the next few months.
And the spring game tomorrow at noon, we'll have a decision on which arena it will be. And they're going to play it. It's just where it's going to be because of maybe some weather issues. Indiana University will make that decision coming up at noon today. The spring game tomorrow, a perfect result would be what? Offense beats defense. Defense plays better. What has Tom Allen's vibe been about what he wants to see out of this? I know he wants the game competitive. Everything they do is about competition. Is there any perfect result for a coach?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, they obviously never tip their hand as far as what they're looking for, you know, scheme-wise and things like that. I think it really just comes down to execution, you know, both for the offense and the defense. And, you know, obviously Coach Allen and offensive coordinator Mike DeBoard will have, you know, different ideas, I'm sure, of what that looks like for their respective units. But, you know, really, you know, the offense, it's going to be kind of hard to judge because they don't have Nick Westbrook out there yet. They don't have Donovan Hale out there yet because both of those guys are still, you know, arguably the top two receivers are still recovering from injuries from last season. And so, you know, they're kind of inexperienced a little bit of a wide receiver outside with Timmy. But, again, defensively, I'm really curious to see, you know, what the, you know, what the linebackers look like, who steps up on the defensive line, too, with Greg Gooch and Robert McCray gone. Obviously, you've got Jacob Robinson there. But, and then, you know, the free safety spot next to John Crawford. So really, it's learning more about the defenses, I think, that is what I'm looking forward to most.
And the last one before I let you go, I always like this one this time of year, Stu Jackson from TheHoosier.com joining us. What will be the biggest overreaction after the Cream and Crimson game, do you think? Is there one angle or is there one quarterback or is there one position group that stands out that everybody's going to – there's every – I know you've done a lot of these. Every spring game there's one performance where everybody says, oh, my gosh, that guy, and who's that going to be tomorrow? Who's your gut feeling on that?
You know, I have a feeling it may be, you know, again, you kind of touched on it, just the quarterback position. I just, you know, I think fans are obviously very interested in seeing who takes that starting job. And I think, you know, whoever, you know, if one of them has, you know, a lower completion percentage than the other, I think it's going to be at the – I could see it now being at the center of every debate from here until August. So,
well, that's what makes it, know, fun. That's good for fans.
Yeah, exactly. So just, yeah – you know, probably the quarterback position, just because, you know, for the last 2 years, I feel like, or at least the last, you know, 7, 8, 9 months, that's been the most scrutinized position for IU. So,
and it will
I don't
be.
Think that'll change.
And it will be. Yeah. Obviously, the Hoosiers adding a graduate transfer that will come in next. Well, after he graduates in May from the University of Arizona, Brandon Hawkins was going to come in, 6'3", 210, play 25 or so games in the Pac-12. That will add competition. That will add everybody in the same umbrella in the quarterback room. So these guys have a lot to play for tomorrow at noon. Stu, you did a great job, my friend. We'd love to have you back on, so I'll be in touch with you. Thanks for your time this morning.
Absolutely. Look forward to joining you again. Thank you, Mike.